Suddenly, ladies, Christmas is upon us, all right? Ready or not, it's coming. And how many of you are ready? Raise your hand if you're ready. We hate you. Just kidding, we don't hate you. But it is a lot. And for the majority of us, that we weren't the ones that raised our hands, it's still a lot. I have friends that have been buying Christmas presents since like August or June, and it's like, that's not me. And, you know, we just have so much to do, but it's upon us. And it just seems like a couple days ago was August, and I was barbecuing in our backyard with some friends and swimming. And I don't know what happened, how it's December already, and it's just days away now from Christmas. But we do not change the seasons. We adjust to the seasons. And in our life, it will be a continual saga of adjusting to different seasons in your life. But I want to tell you, spring will come again to the frozen tundras of Utah, Idaho, Nebraska, and Minnesota. It will happen. It will go ahead, and it will be spring again, and there will be the snow melt. Once again, Holly Lobby will be 70% off. They will get through this. But in the meantime, I just talked to my friend in Idaho a couple days ago, and I was sitting in my backyard out in the sun up in Yucca Valley where the trees look like that, and they're called Joshua trees. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And I'm looking at her, I'm listening to her on the phone. She goes, Marilee, it's 3 degrees here. It's hard to picture. Because Southern California, you're cold if it's, you know, 65, right? And so we know that it will thaw out, life will go on, but more than ever, this is the time for us to shine bright for Jesus. And everywhere we go, in the stores, when we're out and about at grocery stores, when we're out and around, did you know that I heard a Christmas carol in Target the other night? Yes. Don't tell them. Okay? Just know that I heard it. Everybody is celebrating the name Jesus. And now all of a sudden, you feel the freedom to say Jesus. Where many times in our world, we feel like we have a hammer on us, that we're not supposed to speak out the name of Jesus. And we feel like we shouldn't say anything. It's his show. Talk about him everywhere you're going to be. No matter what you're doing, it's all about Jesus, and it's time to shine bright for him. We serve a God that loves the word suddenly. Okay? We do. We serve it. You're going to see this through night. He does things very suddenly, and our life are always going to be about sudden changes. But it's all in God's good and perfect timing. Suddenly actually means quickly, immediately, instantly, abruptly, and sharp. Suddenly happens. I think I should have a t-shirt that says that instead of the other words. We could just have suddenly happens, right? I have a whole saga of t-shirts from my church. Whenever I come across something like this, I'm like, we should make t-shirts. One girl actually did. She made a t-shirt and brought it to me. But not with suddenly, it says she steps. But there's so many good t-shirts that you could be, suddenly happens. And you know what? What happens suddenly? Okay, let's think for a minute. You met that guy. You fell in love with him. Suddenly now you're his wife after all the planning of the wedding. You're pregnant for 9 months. It seems like 900 years. And then what? Suddenly, there's a beautiful baby born. They get through the most horrible times growing up and growing up. And then suddenly, there's grandchildren. And they're married. They've had these grandchildren. And I happen to have, we have a blended family because my husband passed away 15 years ago. And Gerald's wife passed away 15 years ago. So we've blended a family that never dreamed they'd ever be blended together. And between us, we have 17 grandchildren. So every month, all we do is just write checks. Some months we write 2. Some months we write 3. We just write checks. That's what's happening in our world. But the grandchildren, suddenly there. Suddenly you got the promotion. It happened. Suddenly, your life is changing. And then even suddenly, like I mentioned, death can happen. Luke chapter 1, verse 35 says this, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." And this is talking about Mary. "And therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." And this is what the angel proclaimed to Mary. And what's so wonderful about this is I want you to grasp this, that it says a shadow will overcome you. We need to totally understand the miracle of Christmas, that Mary was a virgin. And so many times that just gets, Mary was a virgin. And the Holy Spirit, it says, will come upon you as a shadow. And I come from a place called Idaho where there's a different religion that teaches something differently about what happened there with Mary and the Holy Spirit and God. It says it was a shadow. And what happens to a shadow? You don't really see it coming. You didn't know it even went. It just happened. Pure. Beautiful. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, Mary. You won't know even when it's happened, when it's not happened, but there's going to be a baby born. And she says, "Let it be done unto me." Mary was not expecting her life to change one single bit in a little town in Nazareth. Her entire life was going to be the same as everyone else's in that life. And they would have their children picked out from their, you have a little boy over here named Johnny, and we have Mary, and let's have them marry. Isn't that a good idea? Seriously, we could pick our own son-in-law. But that just, I think a lot of people would be happier. Just kidding. Okay, don't go there with me. All right, so it says that she woke up in this town. All of a sudden, here she is. Her entire life is going to change. Because ladies, you have to imagine from the Old Testament to the New Testament has been over 400 years. And God has been silent. There was no new revelation from the Old Testament into the New Testament for 400 years. And yet, it had been prophesied that there was going to be the king and that Jesus was going to come. "For unto us," Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "for unto us a son is given, and he shall be called, and the government will be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, comma. Get that. Wonderful, comma. Not wonderful counselor, wonderful, comma. And isn't he wonderful?" I can't imagine life without knowing who the Son of Jesus Christ, who he is and how he lives in my heart. I can't even imagine facing a day without him. I wouldn't have the strength. He's wonderful, a counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Do you know why he's the Prince of Peace? Because he smashes guilt. Guilt will beat you up if you let it. And you know what else it will do? It will haunt you. And even though maybe somebody has forgiven you, you can't forgive yourself. Guilt is a bully, and we live in that so many times in our lives, the guilt of something that we've done. It says here, peace. He is the Prince of Peace, and he takes guilt and smashes it, because that's why he came. That's why he's our Savior. That's why he's our Lord. If you brought your Bibles with me tonight, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read a few verses here. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." Tax the world. Everybody needs to be taxed. And this is the first time this is happening in Judea. And now they have to go back to their original birthplace, which for Mary and Joseph, it was in Bethlehem. They had to go to Bethlehem to be registered on their way, 90 miles, and Mary is on a donkey. Can you imagine the drama? I can't even, honey, I know it's only been 4 or 5, you know, maybe, you know, 45 minutes. Can you get the dog? I need to go to the bathroom again. Okay, Mary. Gets back up on the donkey, and as soon as that happens, honey, I know that it's been only half an hour, but I gotta go again, because it's up and down. And she's riding a donkey for 90 miles. Text everybody. Text them. Bring them in. And here they had no choice but to obey the government. And for a couple of years ago, you know, not long ago at all, we know what that felt like, didn't we? That we had somebody dictating to us how we were to live and what we should wear and how we should cover our face and how we should walk. And we know what that's like. Can you imagine? That's what Mary was having to go through back then. They had orders that they had to be there. You know, the Lord knows what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I can tell you your God does. And He loves you very much. You never know when the unexpected suddenly is going to happen to you. One of the joyous unexpectedly suddenlies that happened to me was we were in Idaho years and years ago, and I was born and raised in Whittier, California. I went to Pioneer High, and then I went to Life Bible College in Los Angeles, and then I moved to Idaho and I married an Idaho boy, and there I resided for 31 years. So I would always come back to go to California to see my parents and family, and then I'd go back to Idaho to see my other cousins and such, and that's where I lived for all that time before it was the popular thing to do. Now it's the popular thing to do. You talk to 1 out of 10 people, they're moving to Idaho. I actually have said to people, don't you know there's other states? There's other places to go. I've been there. They're beautiful, okay? But they're moving to Idaho. And it's very cold there in the winter. Most Californians that move to Idaho, they go there in June, July, and August, and maybe September, and it's stunning. It's beautiful until Halloween. And every Halloween, it snows, okay? And it's cold, and it's frigid. It's the tundra I was telling you about. One time, our heat bill was so high, because I was a Southern California girl, moved to Idaho, and I cranked that up, you know, and I was young, and I didn't even think about how much it cost. How many of you got teenagers? Raise your hand. They don't think about, you know, gas, how much it's going to, yeah, they just, you know, crank it up or turn it on or, well, our heat bill was a lot of money for back then, and it was tons of money, and I remember finally I was going to go up to the courthouse and ask them how we could make payments on our heat bill. Because my husband's like, well, you go ask them. I told you to turn it down, but you know you're not going to turn it down. So just go ask them if they'll work with this. So I went up there. I got up there to the courthouse. And that's where you paid your bills in Twin Falls, Idaho. And I said, I need to talk to you about my bill. I'd like to make payments on it. She goes, let me look you up. And she did all the stuff. And she looks it up. She pulls it up. She goes, your bill's been paid. I said, no, that must be another Heather. That's not me. There's several of us. Keep looking. She goes, Brand Heather? I go, yes. She goes, that bill's been paid. Yeah, no, that didn't. And then all of a sudden, it's like, shut up. It's like, what? Wait, what am I saying here? Oh, it's been paid? And then she goes, I'm seriously, it's been paid. And I walked out, and I was like, what in the world happened? A sudden, unexpected, suddenly, I went from, I cannot believe I have to go up and beg for help with a heat bill to it's been paid. My mood changed just like that. I was such a happy girl. I called my husband, you won't believe what happened. I told my mom, I told all my friends. I convinced myself, and I think it's true even to this day, now that I'm old, it was an angel. I do, because I never told anyone we had that big bill. Because I was kind of embarrassed because I was a Californian that didn't fit in Idaho. I want to read something to you in Job. And I know you're thinking I'm going to continue the Christmas story, and I am. But God knows so much about us, and He loves us so much. In Job chapter 38, verse 8, and he's talking about the ocean here. And it says, who shuts up the sea with the doors and bursts forth what's issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, and the thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed it with the limit for it, and I set bars on the doors, and when I said to the ocean, as it's talk about this, you may come no further, you proud waves must stop here. He is in so much control of us. Did you catch the Christmas verse that I read? Let me read it to you again. When I made clouds its garment, and that's talking about the ocean, and the thick darkness its swaddling clothes. What does Jesus do with us, ladies? He takes our thick darkness and he wraps them in swaddling clothes. Where he was born for us, and we're going to be studying more about swaddling clothes, he takes that, and it describes Jesus right here, wrapped darkness in swaddling clothes. Your Savior was wrapped in swaddling clothes. So let's go back over here to Luke chapter 2. And it says here that the decree went out, and census, verse 2, should be taken place while Aquarius was governing of Syria. They all went to be registered, each one to their own city. And here we see, and Joseph went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's just going to blow your mind, because it blew my mind. And I don't do this all the time, but lots of times I'll look things up in the Greek and the Hebrew. Are you ready for a code? Seriously, you want a code? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. You're going to like this. Okay, Rick. Okay, so here is the code. Ready? Joseph, which means in Hebrew, God will give, went up from Galilee out to the city of Nazareth, which means a shoot off a branch of new life. And he went into Judea, which means praise, to the city of David, which means beloved, and it is called Bethlehem, the house of bread, because he was in the lineage of David. So, the Bible's so wonderful, it says, God will give new life, a new shoot of the branch to bring praise for the beloved, that's us, in the house of bread, and that is him, and he is the bread of life. Isn't that exciting? Oh, come on. Isn't that exciting? It's like 3D. It's like looking at it, but then you look at it. And that's what the Word of God is. It's sharp, and it's a two-edged sword, and it has so much to teach us about the Word of God that even the words, some of the very words in the Bible, have different meanings when you translate them and you look to what they can mean. Now, don't get hung up in that and look up every single word, because then you're going to think it's going to be a really deep word, and it's going to be, and it meant, you know, a bush or a rock or, you know, a stone. And then you're going to go, that. It's just every now and then, though, this I just thought was so beautiful. God will give new life. Praise will come forth for the beloved, and the Bethlehem in the house of David is the bread of life, is for our God. Verse 5, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was while they were there, and they were completed the time to be delivery, that she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. You know, we came from Israel just right before last year, and we had a new tour guide, and he told us this story. And I thought about it, and I, you know, I did some Googling, and I read different things about it, but this was what our translator had talked with us about, this with the swaddling clothes. And then I didn't think much about it again until I was watching. And how many of you have ever heard of Rabbi Jason Sobel, S-O-B-E-L, have you ever heard of him? He's a born-again rabbi, and he teaches. And I heard him talking about this, and then I did the research, and it said these were Levitical shepherds that were raising pure lambs for the synagogue. You know, before Jesus came to die for us, we had to sacrifice for our sins. And back then, that was what the Lord accepted. God accepted as they would go out and they'd make these sacrifices. And there were actually these Levitical shepherds that were out there, and they were raising these pure lambs because they had to have no blemish to be offered to God back then. He wanted a pure lamb that would be slain for our sins. And instead of the anger of God being transferred onto us, then it would be appeased by that lamb. And so it was very important that these lambs were perfect. And here we see that this rabbi said, in the raising of Passover lambs, and the shepherds are out there, we're going to be reading about this, they would carry the lambs on their shoulders. And in order to make sure they didn't get bumped or dirty on the way, these people, when they were taking them into the synagogue to be bought in to go ahead for the sacrifice, they would take these lambs and they would wrap the lambs in actual swaddling clothes and carry them on their shoulders. And that was a barrier between the person and the swaddling clothes. So it was over here, so their neck isn't getting all sweaty from the lamb. And it's not going to get dirty, and it's wrapped very carefully as they're taking him into the synagogue, the lamb, in swaddling clothes. Isn't that interesting? And he said that it's just an amazing thing when you really study. And he said, this is true. He's Jewish. I'm not, so I don't know. It's traditional what they're saying. I don't know. But it sounds like something that was just so wonderful. And it makes sense, because if not, then the person carrying the lamb would be dirty, and the lamb would be dirty, but they had to have a barrier there. And so here we read on, and it says in verse 7, so that she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And we know that our God, He's called the Lamb of God because he's the pure sacrifice that died for us and our sins. Verse 8, and now there was in the country shepherds. Then they were abiding, keeping watch over their field by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood for them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. You know, when suddenly happens, it can startle you so much that you have PTSD. Our world, many people suffer with PTSD, that something happened that was so startling that it's so hard for them to get over. And I actually knew somebody in our church, and they were on vacation, and a mass shooter came in the restaurant. And they ran underneath they were praying, and they ran underneath the table. And he shot and shot and shot. He looked at them underneath the table, and she said, I'll never forget seeing his eyes meet my eyes. And she goes, I'm hiding my daughter that's 12 years old like this. And he looked at me, and she said, and then he moved on and shot somebody else. And she said, you just never know. And she said, to this day, whenever I hear a loud noise in a restaurant, I go right back there. Right back there. And so here we see the angel of the Lord coming, and he's going, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of this. Scared, anxiety, stressed. Ladies, do you want to know what I stressed about this last week? Hold on, because it's real spiritual. Get ready. My tree topper kept leaning forward, and I was like, why is that happening? Why? And it was stressing me out. And I looked at my husband, I said, the tree topper leans forward. To which he said, I don't see nothing wrong with it. To which that made me stress even more, because there was a problem, right? What do we lose our peace over in our whole life? There are so many things that we stress about. And what does the Lord say? He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't have anxiety. Do not panic. Do not be scared. Verse 10, he said, for the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news. And if there's anything that this world needs, is good news. I was listening to the news today about Israel and all the different things happening in the Gaza. Good news. And the word says Jesus will bring good news. Do not be afraid. Great tidings of great joy will be to all people. He's going to make a way for you not to have to pay for your sin. And I want to tell you something that's really good news. That anything you've ever done is forgiven by the Lamb of God. That's such wonderful news that you can just breathe. So let's all do that. Breathe in and breathe out. He's made a way for forgiveness for you and for me. Your God is in the business of suddenlies. If you don't believe me, let's look at the PowerPoint here real quick. The first one. Is it up? All right, I'm just going to read these. Lest coming suddenly, he will find you sleeping. Luke 2:13. And suddenly there was an angel in the multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill to men. And suddenly, Acts 22, there came a sound from heaven, a mighty rushing wind, and it filled where they were sitting. Acts 9:3, as he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly this light shined around him, and there was a light from heaven. Acts 16:26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened, and they were loosed. Acts 22:6, and it came to pass, as I was on my journey, and I was coming to Damascus about noon, suddenly there was a light that shone out great by me. Suddenly happens to us all the time. 1 minute's this way, and the next minute it's that. But God is still in control of when it changes. You can trust that he knows when the suddenlies are happening and the changes of your life are happening, because he is all-knowing and he is God. And suddenly there is an angel proclaiming, do not be afraid. He's a wonderful, wonderful God. He's a really good counselor. And do you want to know why he's the best counselor that you can find on the face of the earth? It's because he totally gets you. He totally understands you. Because sometimes we can't even articulate how we feel, what we've been through. But he knows. And he loves you. And I'll go before him and I'll pour my heart out because he totally gets me. He's my maker. And I don't have to worry about saying it wrong, or I can just go be real before him. He's the counselor. He's my mighty counselor. He's the mighty God. I like what a little child said, that they were trying to, they sent him to Sunday school. And they came back out and he said, I learned about Jesus and God, and I learned about Jesus. And the teacher goes, oh, or the parents go, what did the teacher say to you? He goes, well, Jesus is God with skin on. And that's what he is. He's God with skin on. He came to show you himself. He was fully God and fully man. It'd be comparison to you becoming an ant and doing it willingly, so you could relate to other ants. And I don't know about you, but that I wouldn't do that. But to him, it would be the same magnitude. He fully said, I want to know what they feel, think. I want them to know what free choice, I want to feel like what free choice feels like, where you can accept or reject, that you're not programmed into being a certain kind of person or somebody that believes a certain way. God goes, I want to feel that. But he was fully man, but yet it says he was fully God. For verse 11, it says, "For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Suddenly, heaven is going to be made accessible to you without a burnt offering. Think about that. And he makes it so simple. Salvation, to believe, is all he asks you to do. There's not all the books in the Bible back here where it talks all about the sacrifices and all they had to do. And God said, "I'm going to make it accessible to every person because I am going to be fully God and fully man, and I am going to come and live amongst them and live a pure life, and I'm going to show them the way to live." I'm so glad he didn't leave us here on our own, but he gave us the Bible, aren't you? Goes down here to verse 13. And these are the shepherds. And what I want to tell you something about the shepherds is they were awake. And Christians, if there's ever a time we need to be awake, it's now. It's now. Because if you listen really carefully, you can hear the footsteps of Jesus. He's coming for his bride, is what the Bible says. And this is what the angel said, verse 12. "This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." And suddenly, I'm telling you, he likes it. God is into drama. Seriously? Read the Bible. It's full of drama. Your lives are still full of drama. And God's right in the middle of it. He's in control of it all. And suddenly, there is an answer to prayer for all of us because we can be forgiven because Jesus is born. No earthly father. Joseph wasn't his father. We look at the manger there and we see, you know, Joseph and Mary, and Joseph was the stepdad and he did a great job, but he wasn't his father. There was no physical touch. It was purely a shadow where God said, "I will be born of a virgin and I will live amongst them." And when you grasp the wonderfulest story ever told, you can never look at Christmas again ever the same. Suddenly, there was a multitude of angels and heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Think about that. All the thoughts that you've had about God, maybe up until right now, he thinks peace about you. Not judgment, not harshness, not "I'm not good enough." He thinks peace towards you because he went to the absolute extreme to give you everlasting life. Jesus said, "If you believe in me, you'll never die." Do you believe this? Because you know what? This has been preached for over thousands of years, and it's still true today, that you do not ever have to perish for your sins. That's the best news ever. That's the glad tidings that the angels all of a sudden appeared. All of a sudden there's angels and they're going, "Peace has finally come to you. You don't have to beat yourself up anymore. It's over. The sacrificial lamb is going to be born and it's going to be Jesus Christ and he's going to die for your sins." And when the shepherds had gone, seen them go on up to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to the house of bread. Let us go to Bethlehem." You know, in order to live, you have to have substance. And the very place Jesus was born was a place of substance for your life today. You were never created to live this life alone without having God in your heart to help you on a daily basis. That's not why you were created. You were created to have fellowship with the Lord because He loves you so much. And what did the shepherds say? I love it. It says they said, "Let's go. Let's go to church." Somebody invited you tonight and you came. Let's go. Let's go see what that's happening. Let's go. It says, and so it was, the angel had gone to heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go." And that should be what we're doing as Christians. Let's go. Let's tell them. Let's rise up and see this thing that has been come to known to pass, that the Lord has made known to us. He wants you to grasp salvation. That's why He was born of a virgin. That's why He lived a spotless, pure life. That's why He died on the cross. And that's why He rose again. And then He said, "If you believe on Me, I've squashed sin. And you never have to pay for anything you've ever done." Now, isn't that the best news you've ever heard? Or are you all perfect? You'll never have to pay for that. There may be consequences to maybe a bad decision. Maybe there's something that you have to face. But as far as paying for it in eternity, it's done when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the peace of God comes to us and He heals broken hearts. And this time of the year can be kind of sad for some of you. I can relate because my first husband, like I told you, he died, but he died on December 10th. And I was alone on Thanksgiving when he was being operated on, and I was alone the night he died. And the Lord's massaged my heart and taken care of my heart, and he's given me a wonderful husband that I love with my whole heart, Gerald Hagerman, the cutest thing ever. You should see him. He's so cute. And I think he's really handsome. I know he's bald, but I think he's handsome. So there's that. Okay, so the Lord has given me a wonderful man, and He treats me very, very kind. But when I decorate the Christmas tree, I still go back to that day when he died. And you know why? It's because you're human, and you had feelings. And you love maybe somebody that left. But see, the only thing we're going to take to heaven is other souls. And God was so good to figure that out for us because He said, all you have to do is believe. And the ones that you love, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. And you will go to heaven. And so will they. So you never have to say goodbye forever. And you know what? Christians don't grieve like other people do. We feel sorrow, we feel pain, but you know what? We know that we'll all be together again in heaven. That's why it's so important to tell people about Jesus, that you can be with them forever and ever and ever for all eternity. We are human. Jesus is divine. He's divine, goodwill towards you, and He conquers death that we live forever. Verse 15, let's go see this thing that the Lord has made known. And it says here, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Hurry to Jesus. Hurry to Him. There's times throughout the day that I cannot wait to go pray. I just cannot wait to get alone with the Lord and talk with Him. When church comes, hurry to come into rejoicing and remembering how good He is. Hurry to meet Jesus. They said, let's go, let's rise up, let's go, and let's make haste. Let's hurry to go tell everybody about it. When's the last time you were in a hurry to spend time with the Lord? There's no better time than Christmas time now. There's no better time to start than tonight, to hurry, to be with your Maker, to the counselor that understands you, because no one else does. He does. And his timing in prayer is perfect. I wouldn't have waited 400 years from the Old Testament to the New Testament. I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait in line. I don't like to wait in traffic. I don't like to wait to lose weight. I don't want to wait for anything. I wouldn't even probably waited, 40 years, let alone 40 minutes. There, fix it. Fix it quick. But God knows why. There was a lot of other things happening. In God's perfect timing, he sent Jesus. Hurry, make haste to go with him. Verse 17, and it said, when they had seen him, they made him widely known, saying, this is what was told concerning this child, that he would be the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is him. And the shepherds went out and said, this is him. And they made him widely known. Target is playing Christmas carols. Put your cross on and get out there and make him widely known. Talk about Jesus to a world that's very sad, and to a world that can be very stressed, and to a world that can have PTSD. That you give the hope of the risen Savior to them. Verse 18, it says, and all those who heard marveled and of what they were told of by the shepherds. To realize that you no longer have to, that there's been a way made, that this wonderful Savior has been born, and they marvel, could this be? Could this be our Savior? And it was our Savior. It is our Savior. Even today, the breath of life. He is the hope for all of us in this room. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word ponder means she reflected, she meditated. In Hebrew, it means she thought it over and she considered all these things. Ponder in your heart what a wonderful thing is salvation. That you don't have to pay for your sins. That's why he died. Ponder that you're pure before him when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved. Ponder means to slow down. Slow down. In this world, it's busy, busy. And this time of the year, oh my goodness. I was just talking to my friend Cindy, and we were talking about all the things that we're going to be doing from now until next week. And we were just exhausted talking to each other. She said, I'm doing this and this and this. And I'm going, and then I'm doing this, that, that. And we're just talking back and forth. And you know what God says to you tonight? Be like Mary. Ponder. Slow down. Think of what's really important. And it's not Macy's sale. And it's not Amazon's prime deal. Slow down. The babe was born in Bethlehem that grew up and was the Savior of the world. It says here, verse 20, then the shepherd returned, glorifying God and praising them for the wonderful things that they had seen and what had been told him. No, we give him glory. And what does that mean? That means you just tell people what he's done for you. Maybe that's all you got out of tonight was, Jesus is God with skin on. It works. Okay? That's what you, is that how you can do it? That, just give him glory. I once was consumed with guilt. And I prayed, and now I'm free. I once worried if I was going to go to hell because of all the bad things I've done and the lies I've told and the people I've wronged. And now I have peace with God because I embrace the babe that grew up to be the Savior. And I no longer have to live in fear and scared of God's going to get me and that's karma coming around. No, it's not. God conquered karma. Can I get a hallelujah? Somebody needs to tell Taylor Swift, okay? Karma is not a cat, right? I've heard these things. I have grandchildren, all right? God made a way that it doesn't boomerang back at you. He works with you. And he grows you. And the more you pray and the more you learn and the more you study, the deeper you grow. And you see over and over again, instead of a judgmental, harsh God, you have got a loving, kind, forgiving Savior. You know this song, God Incarnate, God Divine? They asked me on the worship team, but I told them I'd think about it. You mock me. The word God Incarnate, are you ready for this? And this was it. This is what it means in the dictionary. Are you ready? A person who embodies flesh, a deity, God, God becoming flesh, God became flesh, assumed human nature in the form of Jesus Christ. Did you know that's what that word meant? God incarnate, became flesh, dwelt among us, Emmanuel, God is with us. Jesus walked and he felt and he knew what you went through. So when he was going to the cross, he did it for you and he did it for me. Assumed human nature in the form of Jesus Christ. Pshew. That's the good news. That's the good news, is how much he loved you. And you serve now, I serve now a risen Savior, alive and very active in my life. And I've seen prayers answered quickly, suddenly. And I've prayed for the silliest things. What have I got? 5 minutes. Okay, I'll tell you. One of the worst things I've ever prayed for, okay? Ready? We moved to the country, and we were broke. And I wanted a huge tree because it didn't have a tree. And you know what? I prayed for that tree. And I said, God, I'd sure like a tree and we can't afford it. I'd like a big evergreen. We're in Idaho and I'd like it to be right out front here and it'd be so beautiful because we got 2 acres but it has no trees. I'd just like a tree. And soon as I prayed that, the enemy came into my heart. He said, you prayed for a tree? And I just sat there. He said, people are dying. People are sick. People are destitute. And you merrily are praying for a tree? Well, that's spiritual. And do you know what I did with that? I started getting tears in my eyes. And I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Forget that I even said that. You know, just take that eraser and just erase it. And I just went about my day. And I was kind of beating myself up for being so shallow. You ever been shallow? Of course not you, but I mean, I've been shallow. I've been known to be shallow before. And so I just said, that was just ridiculous. I can't even believe I prayed over something so stupid. The next morning, the phone rang. I kid you not. And this man said, hey, Marilyn, I heard you and Brent had moved out to the country. I said, yeah. He goes, well, I'm doing some landscaping. And he says, I'm removing this huge evergreen tree out of my backyard. And he said, would it be okay if I paid for it to be delivered to your house out in the country? I'll even pay the guy to plant it for us. He said, because I don't want it. It's too beautiful. It's too beautiful to cut down. And the tears. Nothing is too small. for you're wonderful, God. You talk to him all the time. And tonight, maybe you don't even know who I'm talking about. You just got invited and you thought it'd be fun because they have a nice market out there. I want you all to just bow your heads right now, if you'd bow with me. And if this is a new story to you, this is something you might not have heard before, or you've heard it before, but tonight, for some reason, it made a little more sense to you. I don't want anyone looking at me. I want everyone eyes closed. No one's looking at anyone, just me. And if you would like to accept the Lord tonight and know when you walk out of here, you are going to heaven. I just want you to slip up your hand. I'm not going to make you sing. Just slip up your hand if there's anybody in this room tonight. And I'll just wait here for just a minute. Is there anybody here tonight? The first time wants to, I see your hand. I see your hand. Anyone else? I see your hand. I see you. I see you. And I'm going to pray this simple prayer, and I'm going to ask you just to pray it in your mind as I say it and repeat after me. And let's invite the babe that grew up to be your Savior to come in. I see your hand. To come in to your heart tonight.